Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. I will begin by apologizing if you're watching on YouTube, if you are listening here, our audio and video quality, obviously not what you were normally expecting. On Friday, I'm almost 99% positive lightning struck the Super Talk studio. I was not that lightning. this is how it went. I was on the computer, you know, like maybe 10 minutes from the show starting, from Sports Talk Mississippi starting up, and I hear a massive pop in my headphones, like to the point where I was like, ah! And my monitor flickered off, and I was like, oh, did the power go out? But it didn't. You know, the lights were still on and everything else. And so I told our engineer, I was like, I think lightning just hit this building, and he agreed with me. And then a couple minutes later, the internet was down. And I want to give a big thanks to my good friend Austin Voller over at the Voller Law Firm, who allowed me to use his internet to go record. I wish he had said no, because my next call was going to be our friend Barton Dinkins at Two Brothers, and I could have maybe gotten some food while I was doing the show. That would have made Michael Borky super jealous. But anyway, long story short, the internet obviously hasn't been fixed yet, so I have to record here today from my home, as you can see. Here's Brian Bear right here. This was one of my first gifts I got my wife a long time ago. I love the shirt. The shirt's great. Anyway, Thanks for tuning in at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tyro.
Well, that would be a little weird.
Wherever you're in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every day. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It is what makes every cookout great. It's what makes a great weeknight meal. It's just great. If you're going out to eat, you know you want to order a steak. Beef is what makes dinner the best. Make dinner great again. Order a steak. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. They've got everything maroon and white under one roof. All the logos that you're looking for, the state script, the interlocking, the M over S, they have them with a number of great styles and polos, pullovers, hoodies, hats, whatever it is. Check them out. College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. It is Sunday as we're recording. Robbie, you didn't do a Sunday brunch at Restaurant Tyler without me, did you?
I did not. I went to Obie's.
Good. I'm not entirely happy that I wasn't called about something, but that's fine. Because if I've been to Restaurant Tyler, I've been mad. Because we said we were going to do that, and if you had gone without me,
I did. I told you whenever we go to brunch again at Restaurant Tyler, I'll let you know.
That's right. That's right. So I just want to make sure.
All right. There's a better than average chance that I'll forget to have let you know about that.
You know what, though? I just appreciate the effort. I just appreciate you saying the yes is enough sometimes. You know. So, but we will definitely get a lunch sometime this week at Restaurant Tyler. I know Robbie will be in town, and that blackened catfish cheese grit mac and cheese combo is calling my name. Restaurant Tyler, best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. By the way, just really funny that in the middle of the Restaurant Tyler read, here comes the Obie's Cup.
I would never stoop to the level of promoting someone like that. I mean, this is going to be the Wayne's World bit.
Priority One Bank, 16 locations. Here comes a Bank Plus cup right here. Priority One Bank, 16
It's locations. Just the cup that I happen to have to get my sweet tea in my body so that I could survive this show.
16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need a bank that knows you the same way it knows your money. You need a bank that provides a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. If you'd had a Bank Plus cup, I'd have laughed really
That
hard
would have been
about saying that.
pretty wild. Renaissance Bank.
Yeah, something like that. I got to try to get more comfortable here. What are we doing? Let's see. This will work. I was sitting. I had like the thing on my leg, and it wasn't working for me.
Are
So,
you by the guinea pigs?
the guinea pigs are right over there. It's just one now. Just
I might
one.
have to bring Natty up just so she can see the guinea
She
pig.
can't see the. It's only one for now, by the way. We only have one guinea pig.
I thought you had two.
No, Graham went on to that great spinning wheel in the sky a
Oh.
couple months ago. Remember that? Don't you remember I told you about that? Like, where Emily was at a convention and it died while she was gone. And so
Oh boy.
when I picked her up from the convention, I had the guinea pig in a box because we had to take it to get cremated. And she was all happy. She had won some awards. I was like, hey, I got some really bad news. I felt terrible.
Oh my
It was that's
God.
rough. That's a rough day to be a dad when the
You
pet
get
dies.
pets cremated?
Yes, yeah, all of our former pets are here with us right now. Samson and
Really?
Agamemnon,
Like in
Daisy.
an urn?
No, they give you a little box and they like take their paw and they stamp it in clay and they send that back to you.
Oh,
Yeah, it's really
okay.
sweet. Yeah. So,
Where is it at? Where do you go?
you go to any vet, they'll do it for you.
Oh, okay. There you go.
There you go. All right.
A traumatizing conversation
Well,
before we get into the show today.
beats stuffing them. I would not want to have one of those taxidermied pets laying around forever.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So, speaking of trauma, let's talk about Mississippi State's cornerbacks. it's gonna be a rough one. So you wrote an article about corn. We're very timely today. You just put an article out. I think it was yesterday on Three about Mississippi State's cornerback room. About Mississippi State cornerbacks coach Corey Bell. We'll hear from Corey Bell a little later in the show. His audio from was it Thursday's when did we talk to him? Was it Thursday?
When we talked to the coaches,
Yeah. Is it
that
last
was on a
Tuesday?
Tuesday,
Tuesday. Last Tuesday's media day with
Monday or
him.
Tuesday.
Yeah, not a long interview, but we'll hear what he had to say. You asked the question, how can they be better? I think that's a nuanced answer. I think that individually as players, they can't be. I don't think Mississippi State's cornerback room will be as good as it was a year ago when it wasn't good. Let's just be honest, it wasn't good. I think from a talent perspective, they are not as good as they were a season ago. But they could play better because State has improved on the defensive line at linebacker and at safety. So it could be a situation where the rising tide has lifted all ships. And you have better pass rush, you have better safety play, and that allows you to be a little better at corner by default. But in terms of the players themselves, Robbie, I feel pretty confident in saying that none of State's current corners, nobody on State's depth chart at the cornerback position would start at any other SEC school. Am I off on that?
Maybe Kelly Jones could work his way into there.
Maybe.
And I mean, to be honest, like we don't know yet what some of these others are going to look like, the guys that we've just have not seen play.
Right.
But that was kind of my point whenever I wrote that story was like I think that the opportunity is there for that group to be better this year, grading out more production, interceptions, pass breakups, whatever. I mean, the team had what, seven interceptions last year? And some of those were from the safeties, some of those were from the defensive line. Like I don't remember how many cornerbacks got. I know you had one from Elijah Cannon. You had that pick six. You had one probably from Bryce Pollock. I don't remember a ton of interceptions from the
I don't know
cornerbacks.
that Diego Brumfield had one against Georgia.
That's right. So they had at least
Yeah. Pollock
three
had one against
interceptions.
Georgia too, didn't he?
Pollock.
Yeah.
It was either Georgia or Texas that he had one.
Yeah.
Might have been Georgia.
Yeah.
But, you know, the production, it can't get much worse from a production standpoint, but you lost your highest graded defender.
Yeah.
Bryce Pollock was, he had 10 pass deflections. He had an interception. He was pretty darn good in coverage. He was a good tackler. That's a big piece to miss. So you look at that and you're like, can they actually be better? But I think they can as a group. I think collectively they can be better. They can have better numbers back there due to what they're getting on the front end. So the answer, like you said, is nuance. It might not be that the players are going to be better than they were last year, but I think that you can see better production because they're not asked to cover for a long period of time like that unit was last season. And that's what you're asking for. I mean, can you just stay with a guy at receiver and not get beat 10 yards down the field for big plays? Can you come up and make a tackle whenever you have a guy in front of you? Can you just stop him right there and not allow yards after catch? That's what you're looking for from this group. Can you just be average or just a little below average might be okay if you have a good production in the front of your defense. So that's kind of what you're looking at with this group. I mean, it didn't look like on the surface to me like they improved that group in the transfer portal.
Right.
You picked up a guy that NAIA who looks the part. I mean, he's physically built. He looks like a guy that's really impressive, but he played NAIA football. This is a giant jump. You had a guy that wasn't starting at Kennesaw State that you pulled out of the transfer portal. You got a junior college guy. I just don't see that they drastically improved this group like they did these other position groups. I think that they got SEC caliber players and they built depth and they got size at some of these other spots. It just looked to me that like they didn't see a big problem with the cornerbacks. Like it didn't even feel like they had like a massive sense of urgency there.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just the fact that they feel like if they can just have more pressure up front, you don't have to ask those guys to do a whole lot. That's banking on a lot, but you know, we'll see what happens. I've heard good things about Amarian Jefferson, the junior college transfer. I think Kyle Johnson will be good in time, but it's still early for him. You're asking for him as a true freshman to do something. So it's just a wait and see with the group. I have very low expectations for them, and if they outperform those expectations, which won't take much, that's a good thing for Mississippi State. That's just where I am with them right now.
Yeah, you said average, and I'll be honest, average would be a massive overachievement, in my opinion.
Yeah, I
I
mean, it
mean,
might.
but that's just where you are, you know, with this group. You know, Jones at least played some SEC football last year. He looked okay at times, but I mean, that's the terminology that we're using here, he looked okay at times, is your best cornerback. And you talked about the portal. It is fascinating how little urgency there seemed to be in the transfer portal for Mississippi State. When you look at a guy like Mississippi State, a lot of people thought that Stephen Hall was the guy that Mississippi State would have been able to get in the transfer portal pretty easily. We're about to have a visitor here.
Was it one of the
It
cats?
is.
Come
That's a
on,
guy that
get up in the frame. Kitty, 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 kitty.
she's playing shy now. Anyway, Stephen Hall is a guy that everybody was like, oh, if State offers him, they'll get him. If State offers him, they'll get him. And they didn't offer him, and he goes to Missouri, and he's likely going to start there. So this is a guy that a team that is better than you in its own conference thought could play for them, and you didn't. And there was a lot of talk that, oh, they thought he was too short. And there's just you gotta just take players that can play at some point. You know, you
Like
can't
you don't
get
just
too
take a player just because they're big enough. Like I'm
right.
not gonna, you know, I'm 6'4". Like on the surface, like, hey, oh, he's 6'4", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, that checks out. 6'4", 200. Let's sign him up right now. Well, I'm 6'4", sometimes uncoordinated. I'm not very fast. I can't jump very high. I can't cover anything.
You got great wingspan though.
But you're just gonna take me just because I'm tall. I
And
mean.
That's the Saban way, right? Saban's philosophy was always, we take a certain body type. We do not take anybody that's not. And you can do that when you are an elite football program who can get whoever they want to come to school.
Yeah,
You
the
can be
body types they're
selective.
taking are five-star caliber
Right. You
players.
can be selective in those situations. When you just got to get better players in, you got to take what you can get. And so Mississippi State, I feel, really missed the boat on some potential cornerback targets because they didn't fit the body type that they wanted. And that's going to be, a problem this year because, as you mentioned, you don't have a lot of experience, you don't have a lot of talent, and you're also being coached by the coach that I think you and I and the Mississippi State fan base that follows this kind of stuff has the least amount of faith in. I have more faith in Coleman Hutzler overall than I do in Corey Bell. I just don't feel like he's been a great recruiter, and I don't feel like the on-the-field product has been worth a darn either.
Well, because you can't convince me that, all these other positions, like you can't use the argument when Mississippi State didn't have money.
They upgraded
Mississippi
everywhere
State just
else.
can't recruit to this program right now. They got better players on the defensive line. They got better players at linebacker. They got better players at safety. The one sore thumb here that struggled to win position battles in recruiting was that. They struggled to win recruiting battles with other teams in the conference. Defensive line got players that were being recruited by SEC schools. Linebacker, safety, cornerback did not. And so that's your major issue at this point is the cornerback room, and it's not a secret at all. And you talk about like the coaching part of it. I do like the fact that Paul Rhodes is spending time in that room. Maybe he can help out that room and elevate it a little bit because he's coached a lot of football. So hopefully that's the case. But yeah, I mean this felt like, keeping Corey Bell after the struggles that they had on the field and the struggles they had in recruiting, it felt like totally just a trying to keep the staff continuity thing that we had talked about what Jeff Lebby wanted to do. But that is very concerning that you saw a major issue with your team and you did not address it at all. That's very concerning with Jeff Lebby. I mean, it starts at the top. That's the head man. And the fact that he did not see that to be a big problem is it's either that he sees something that we don't, and it's going to be something that we see during the season, and we would gladly come back and tell you that we were wrong on that. You know that. Either it's that or it's just, these guys are my friends and I'm keeping them together. And that is the beginning of the end
That's a
for
bad
head
situation.
coaches. If you're ever keeping guys on staff because they're your buddies or you're just trying to keep continuity and you don't address that issue, that's a problem. And it's also like, well, why was Cody Kennedy the guy that got booted?
Yeah, why was he the fall guy
His,
and all that?
I mean, the offensive line, it had some struggles, but I thought they got better as the year progressed. And obviously, they had their deficiencies. And I'm not saying that Cody Kennedy shouldn't have been let go. I think
They
they
said
did need.
improve there.
I think that they did need a change there, probably just for a new voice in there. And we see the bodies that Phil Loadholtz brought in. I think it's paying off for now. But it's just like, why is that the guy that gets let go, and not anybody else? The defense was an absolute monstrosity that they had over there. Coleman Hutzler kept his job. Everybody stayed on the defensive side of the ball, and it was one of the worst defenses we've ever seen at Mississippi State. So that's kind of my thing is like you have these generationally bad position groups, and everybody stayed, and then Cody Kennedy got the boot. I just didn't understand that, but. We'll see if this is the right decision or not. I mean, over the next couple of years, Jeff Lebby's job is going to be on the line based on these, in my opinion, the assistant coach decisions. Because I feel like Lebby knows how to run an offense. I'm not concerned about that. I feel like he knows how to identify talent on the offensive side of the ball. But you hire these defensive coaches to pretty much run the thing without you at the wheel. Like, he's not involved in the defense. At practices, he's spending time with the offense. And that is going to define, I think, his job, what happens on the defensive side of the ball. And one of those positions is cornerbacks. And if they don't perform this year, if they're really bad this year, State's in trouble. Even if they're much improved on the defensive line, they've got to be able to cover. You got to be able to play defense back there. And I'll say this, in the few clips we've seen, because we don't get a chance to watch any 11 on 11 or anything like that, the few clips we've seen, like some of these great catches that players are making, the coverage is there. Like I feel like even some of the new faces, like they're covering really well. It's just some great catches being made that, by these wide receivers. So hopefully the cornerback room is much improved this year and the production goes up there and you can see a drastic improvement with the defense as a whole.
So we mentioned, Jones and Brumfield, the returning guys. We mentioned Lewis and Williams, the transfer guys. What about Amari and I guess he's just Jet Jefferson and Kyle Johnson, the JUCO and the true freshman? Are these two guys you think can make any type of real contribution this year?
Yeah, I think Amari Jefferson will for sure. I think that's a guy that's probably going to get more playing time than people originally would have thought. And not just because the defense is, or the secondary is just not very deep or super talented right now, but I think he's been a player that has impressed since he arrived. So that would be a big lift to have a guy that you brought in from junior college. If he can come in and provide some good reps for you, and he can defend and lock down wide receivers as best as he can, I think that's great. As far as Kyle Johnson, I think the talent is there. Anytime that you come in from high school to the SEC, it's going to take a bit of a transition period. So we'll see how he reacts. He was on that clip the other day with Brennan Thompson. And again,
The coverage was good.
I thought the coverage was fine. I mean, I don't know what else you could do that with this perfect catch and a perfect throw from Blake Shapen. He put it exactly where you need it to be for a defender to be out of reach. But the coverage, as far as staying with the fastest guy on the team and Brennan Thompson, I thought it was really good. So again, we don't get to see all of it. We don't get to see him all of his reps, but I thought it was fine enough.
I look at Kyle Johnson's recruiting profile. 24/7. I shouldn't use 24/7, but my bad, Brown.
How
But
dare you?
I know, but it's just the first thing that popped up. I'll look it on three. It'll make you happy.
Thank you. Please give us the click.
Now I got to go through. Talk a little bit longer while I'm doing this so I can go through it. But his recruiting profile, just from what he was ranked, is not that far off from Emmanuel Forbes. And so it makes me wonder, in a situation where there shouldn't be anything solidified, there shouldn't be anybody whose name is written in on Sharpie on the depth chart, why this kid can't come in and he was here for the spring. Could he possibly make some sort of impact this year? I think he can. State could desperately use that. They could absolutely use a guy coming out of nowhere to be a big time player for them this year. And if you
Well, and
go
also,
back
like, it wouldn't hurt to just kind of throw him in there and let him get some reps
can't be
because
any worse. If you
you.
remember with Forbes, he was not projected as a starter going into to the 2020 season. You had Emerson there, you knew what you had with him. But I think Esaias Ferg started that first game for Mississippi State, but by the middle of the year, Forbes was the guy there. So I just won't be totally surprised if Johnson, if his recruiting profile is accurate, if that if the people who did those evaluations are with him. You froze up there. You still there? There you are. Okay.
My phone was connecting to Bluetooth speakers somewhere. I don't know.
Natty wants to hear some AC/DC right now. She thinks she's.
I think my wife probably put up.
Now you've gone mute.
Is
This is a train wreck. What's going on here? I thought the problems were going to be on
wife
my
keeps
end
picking
today.
up these earbuds. I'm telling you, she's downstairs somewhere turning these earbuds on. It's connecting to mine.
I thought I was going to be the ones with
Stop
technological
it!
issues today.
Stop it!
Becky! Becky! Knock that off! All right, maybe that'll work.
Meatloaf! We
We want
want the
it!
meatloaf!
Yeah. Mississippi State, I don't think their season is defined by what happens at the cornerback position this year. I think it can become a huge bonus if they're, like we mentioned earlier, average. Average is the but it can become a big anchor if they're not. They're gonna need more from everybody else. It's gonna be kind of like, the weakest link of the chain, right? We need the rest of the chain for Mississippi State needs to be really, really strong because this one link is pretty bad.
We don't need to see just like spectacular stuff from this crew. Like
Right.
it doesn't have to be anything that's like out of this world. Just be competitive out there, be able to knock down some passes every now and then. Don't be like every time we look up, you're chasing the wide receiver into the end zone. That's all we're looking for.
Yeah, if they can get that, should be okay. We will see. Let's move into this break, and then we'll hear from Corey Bell. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and the Older Brother, two outstanding places to eat. Robbie and I have been known to frequent both, so yeah, you got a better than average chance of running into one of us if you go eat at those restaurants. And we definitely encourage you to not to see us. But to go eat some fantastic food, Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. And of course, want to remind you, a week from this coming Wednesday, August the 13th, the Sports Talk Mississippi Not Fall Camp Tour will be at Two Brothers Smoked Meats from 3 to 6. Also, Talking Dogs with Robbie Falk will be there from what time?
1 to 2.
1 to 2. So 1 to 2, Robbie will be there with his show, 3 to 6. I'll be, well, 3 to 7, because I'll be there for Thunder and Lightning live afterwards. So a full day of Mississippi State sports talk. We have not gotten all of our guests confirmed, but you can get guarantee that we'll be have some people you want to hear talk that day. So come and see us at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and register. We're going to register for some great giveaways. We're just going to have some great giveaways. Come check us out August 13th at Two Brothers for the Not Fall Camp Tour. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
It, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's the same people, it's the same number, it's no problems, it's easy to take care of with Advantage Business Systems. Next time you need a new copy or a new printer or anything like that, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. 601 362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Blank. I completely blanked out for a second. My bad. Maroon and Co.
You can do it. You can do
I'll
it.
power through. I saw the tweet. I retweeted it yesterday, I believe. The new hat lineup at now. Look, you guys know me. I'm almost 50 years old, right? I'm an old man. But I feel like I know what the youngsters want. And that hat collection is it. It looks fantastic. You need to check it out. Maroon & Co. and marooneandco.com is the place to get these awesome new hats that they're only going to have at Maroon & Co. You correct me if I'm wrong, there's some of that Mossy Oak Bottomland that I know you're a
Some
big fan of that. Yeah,
bottom land in there. There's an awesome bulldog rope hat in there that I
I saw
want.
that.
I want the bottom land hat. I want that state script hat.
And those branded
There's
bill hats we were talking about, they're coming. They have not shown up yet, but the Maroon & Co. will be the only place you can get the interlocking MSU branded Bills hat. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Next time you're in Starkville, before you head over to Davis Wade, head to Maroon & Co.
Going to cost me so much money. But
But you can save money with our promo code THUNDER15.
it's true.
There you go. I'm sitting here just outside my window. I hear somebody mowing their lawn outside. They probably wish they had
Is
a
it
nurse.
Aislinn?
No,
Aislinn, is that you?
she was earlier this morning. Probably
You're telling
wish.
her to put her back into it. You missed a spot, Aislinn, over there, over in the corner over there.
Just walk out there with like a sweet tea, like get over there.
Drinking her Coke Zero while she's out there just pouring in sweat, mowing your lawn.
Let me tell you something right now. That child's 19 years old and have a job. She can do something around this house. It'll be all right. As I was saying, though, I could hear
Oh.
somebody mowing their grass right now. They probably wish they had a John Deere mower. And if you want to get one of those, the place to go in North Central Mississippi is Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Head up to South Tolo and check it out. Guys, whatever you do around your house, if you are working out in the yard, if you're a gardener, if you've got home repair projects, or if you just want to cook out, or if you're looking to get out of the house and go hunting or go fishing, literally everything I just listed, something is available at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden that you're going to want. So make that trip to South Tolo before your next weekend comes up so that you're ready to go. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in South Tolo, they have what you want for less. Last week, we spoke with Mississippi State cornerbacks coach Corey Bell. Here is that interview with him. And of course, you know what? No, never mind. Not a real interview. Not a real interview. Doesn't we're not giving it the rub. We'll do it another time.
You had some interesting additions through the portal and through the spring, and Dwight Lewis was a guy that obviously a lot of people recruited. How has he performed and kind of acclimated to what you want?
I mean, he's done a great job. He's done a great job throughout the spring, continuing to do a great job, you know, in the off season. So looking forward to him, you know, participating and doing what we asked him to do. So it's been great.
How big is that jump for him from NAIA to the SEC? We think about high school to the SEC or junior college to the SEC. What's the jump like for him?
I mean, it's been a jump, but at the same time, you got to remind him that he's been playing football. So now you're at another level. Of course, the transition itself, the speed of it, the tenacity of it, it's changed a bit for him, but it's our job to help him get there. So it's a step-by-step process.
What have you seen from your group, maybe in the spring and on into the summer, that kind of gives you some positivity?
I mean, they've all come together. They all helping each other, which has been a great thing. As a group, they've gelled, you know, not only on the field but off the field. So it's been good to watch, see those guys come together and perform together, and really see each other do well.
Kelly should be making a pretty big jump this year. What have you seen from him when you look back to last season, the spring, you're working with him as a young guy to now after he's had those reps?
Right, you're only as good as your last rep. He understands that, so. It's about taking that next step, you know, and what does that look like for him, you know, not only on the field but off the field, you know, growing towards maturation has been a thing for him. So he's taken upon himself to do the little things, taking care of his body, you know, working hard, you know, off the field in terms of the film room and those type of things. So it's been good to watch, you know, so the sky's the limit for him. So.
From talent and, you know, size perspective with him, you got a lot to work with. I mean, what do you see as far as what he's capable of in this league?
Right, two things he have that I can't coach, length and speed. You can't coach that, and you welcome that. So the challenge for him is just doing the little things, you know, to make him a better player, you know, understanding the game better, you know, being able to key and diagnose things, you know, to make him play even faster, you know. So if he can slow the game down mentally at a high point, then he'll play faster with his feet. So those are the expectations for him.
What are some of the things from your corner group that you're wanting to improve just from last season to this season?
Oh, there's a number of things in terms of that. I mean, the sky's the limit. First and foremost, like I said, it's just those guys coming together as a group, supporting each other. And I think if we can do that, you know, in retrospect, in hindsight, I think as a group we'll be better. So each guy, you know, is different. Each guy has to pull their own weight. So, you know, each one is unique, you know, and what that looked like come game time remains to be seen. But those guys have been working hard, and I think they're hungry. They're looking forward to it.
Who were the leaders in your room?
Who was the leaders in my room? Guys like Kelly, guys that have been there. Elijah Cannon has been a guy that's been leading. You know, guys that was here, you know, Jet Jefferson is a guy that's standing out. So all those guys are, you know, taking steps forward, which is good to see.
Added some defensive analysts to the staff too, and I know you guys have been working defensive backfield, Coach Rhodes. So, I mean, what's that relationship been like with those guys, kind of building with Coach Mack and Coach Rhodes in that room now?
With Coach Rhodes, is a guy that you watch from afar, you know, over the years. Actually, the guy that coached me in college, you know, Wally Burnham, was his DC at Iowa State. So, you know, there's a connection there in terms of that, but never had a chance to meet him personally until now. But it's been great. I mean, it's been great to have those guys.
There's been a little bit of changeover in the wide receiver room as well, going up against those guys. What have you kind of seen from that position group?
Oh, those guys make it. Anytime you get a group like that, that makes you work. That's what you want. You know, you go out there each and every day, and no matter which guys is up, those guys make them work. You know, not as a coach, but my guys as players. And so that's what you want. You want to go against the best each and every day. You want to coach against the best each and every day. And so that's what we're getting.
So that's Mississippi State's cornerbacks coach, Corey Bell. That's a short interview. Didn't really get a lot from it, if we're being totally honest. But it is what it is on that. So I guess some final thoughts on this position. I will say this, I think I said this last year, and I'll say it again, because I do believe it. This is the last year I'll believe it, though. But with Kelly Jones, that's an incredibly high ceiling if he figures things out, right? Because they don't make cornerbacks built like that very often. You see him, and he looks like a linebacker. So if he can put it together, all of a sudden you've got a weapon, not just a good player, a potential great player, a guy who can be a first-round pick, a guy who you can put out there on any receiver and say, physically, he matches up with anybody who wants to try to catch the football. And then it's just about the next guy. You know, very rarely are you going to have a situation like State had in 99 when you have Robert Bean and Fred Smoot, two potential All-Americans, right? Usually you have one guy. If your best case scenario is to have one guy who's really good and the other guy is good enough. And, you know, State has had some good duos in the past. Martin Emerson and Emmanuel Forbes were a good duo. Emmanuel Forbes and DeCameron Richardson were a good duo. But I would settle for one of them being good and the other one just being good enough. And what is that number? You know, I'm not a PFF guy, but what is that number? I don't know. I just know that if State's going to be better defensively this year, one of the big things they have to do is be better about explosive plays. I look at State's defense last year, and they were a mix of they gave up big plays, and then they would have drives where they just couldn't get off the field, right? I can almost live with those, right? I can almost live with, you know, you miss a tackle here or there. I can get over that. I can't get over when I look up and there's a guy standing by himself with nobody within 10 yards of him and the ball's coming to him. That's just not acceptable to me. So that's where State – that's, to me, I guess I'll ask you the same thing. If I can only have one thing from you, State's either better about giving up big plays or State's better about giving up long drives, which would you prefer?
I would say probably big plays.
I feel like State's problem – because State's a big play offense, so they don't have to run time of possession. Like if the other team has time of possession, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But you can't have these two-play, 68-yard drive scoring touchdowns for you against you. You can't have that.
Yeah. I just don't like the fact – like if you're giving up long drives, it means that you can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
Like the big plays might be because of the fact you've sold out to create
to
a big
stop
play.
The short plays, yeah.
Yeah. So I think I would rather give up a big play every now and then, not all the time, but like I think I would live with that as opposed to the team's just like cutting you with 1,000 paper cuts and you finally bleed to death like we saw last year. Like that's what just drives me insane. Like you know that you can't stop this team and they're just picking up 4 or 5 yards of carry.
I just feel like big plays a lot of times are just the results of mistakes. Whereas if you tell a team, hey, to score on us, you're going to have to put together 15, 16 plays, chances are they're going to make a mistake first. And whereas if you give up a 60-yard touchdown, 9 times out of 10, you missed a tackle, you blew the coverage. It's very rarely is there a 60-yard touchdown where the other team just makes a great play. So that's how I'm going to look at it. We'll see how it works out. I will say this, going into the season, this is the group I have the least faith in. This is the group I believe in the least, and this is the group that I believe that if Mississippi State isn't successful this year, it's because of this group. I will say that. I'll put that out there on the record for you. So we'll see where it takes us. All right, tomorrow we'll talk about the safeties for Mississippi State. We'll finish up some positional breakdowns this week. We'll get special teams a little later as well. Plus, we've got an SEC preview to do. I don't have the helmet schedule here in front of me, so I'll have to tell you tomorrow. It's a surprise, Robbie, who we're talking about. We'll see who it is.
Yeah, can't wait.
All right. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.